This is going to be a new series, a short series, to introduce where we're going in 2019. Now, would you agree with me that the church is called to make disciples? So we can consider ourselves a discipleship community. Amen?
Amen.
So would you also agree that as a discipleship community, we then have to be equipped for the ministry? I mean, how would we do the ministry that the Lord calls us to do, to equip, if we weren't equipped ourselves? Amen?
Amen.
Now, for any member of a church, for any convert, for any believer to become a disciple with vibrancy, if there's going to be vibrancy in your walk, relevancy in your walk, and effectiveness in what you do for the Lord, then we have to have a plan in order to ensure that the believers that we are discipling will be able to have those elements and those features in their walk. Vibrancy, relevancy. We want them to be effective in anything that they do and in anything that they touch for the Lord. And so we need a plan. We need a plan. We need a strategy to do this. And this strategy must touch the three vital areas of a growing church, of a community. It must touch our culture. It must. If it's not touching the culture, then folks are going to come in with their own culture. So we have to establish a culture. We must be diligent in developing a strategy. So not only do we have this powerful culture, but we must have a strategy. And there must be the discipleship flavor component in this DNA. This is critical. Now I want you to keep in mind, you've heard this many times from this pulpit. You must keep in mind that the church is not designed by the Lord for pastors to run the ministries. It's just not set up that way, folks. The only way that that can work for one pastor to run everything is if it was Jesus Christ. Because only He had all of the fivefold ministry. No other human being on the planet before Him, at His time, or since Jesus has the ability to do what Jesus was able to do. But He has a body. It's His body. And His body has many parts. And those parts are designed to do the work of Christ. The work that only He can do if He was here all by Himself. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus knew that, and that's why He trained His apostles and His disciples. That's why He was able to say, "The work that You have given Me, Lord, I have completed." And He said that before going to the cross. Why? What work? The work of equipping the saints. And let me tell you, that hasn't changed. Now, pastoral leadership is very, very important. I'm not going to minimize that. Pastoral leadership is extremely important. But pastoral leadership is limited in its function. I can't do what Andrew can do. I can't do what Gabriel can do. I can't do what Vicky can do, or Ali, or anybody. I can only do what God gifted me to do. And then I am dependent upon you to take your role in the body where God has assigned you. Amen? Church leadership includes pastoral direction, but it is mostly made up of lay leadership. Now I'm going to go to a reference scripture verse that is not our text, but it's foundational. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Because this is the Bible's outline, how church is designed, how it's designed to be run. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 12, the word reads, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." In parentheses, you'll see the text, it says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Let's pray that your word, Lord, it is yea and amen. We pray that you would illuminate this word, this truth to us, that you would give it its intended interpretation, that we might be able to fulfill these words by the power of your Holy Spirit and do a work for you. I pray for every ear, every heart that would come in contact with this sermon, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When you see that verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, that text, what do you see? What do you see when you read that? If you were home doing a study with your family, with your loved one, with your significant other, with your spouse, whatever the situation may be, and you bumped into this text in Ephesians chapter 4, what would you have seen in the text? In verse 8, and it's still up there, in verse 8, it says that Jesus ascended back to the Father. And when he did this, notice, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. He led a host of captives. So I see the freeing of those that were bound being released because of the power of Jesus and his work on the cross. So he ascends, freeing the bound, and then he releases gifts. Now I want you to be real clear on this text. It doesn't say the Father promised these gifts. You don't find any Father promises regarding the fivefold ministry. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit released these gifts. It said Jesus, when he ascended, gave gifts. Now, if the agent of your receiving the gift is the Holy Spirit, it was Christ that released them. It was Christ that called you. It was Christ that equipped you, at least on these leadership points. There are many other gifts that we'll be talking about, but at least on these particular points, it was Jesus Christ that gave gifts to people. So here's a couple of questions, because there are many gifts that we talk about this in Jumpstart. There are many gifts. There are functional gifts. There are many gifts. What's your gift? What is your gift? And here's a better question. Not a better question, but probably a more profound question. What is your gift? And the more profound question, why was it given to you? Why do you have that gift? The answer is found in our text. So I want to go over a couple of translations, which is a good way to study, by the way, so that we can see the different perspectives that all say the same thing. They just say it a little differently. In our text, in the ESV, we saw in the first part, let's divide verse 12 into two parts, A and B. All right? A and B. And so we're going to see the purpose and its function. Look at A. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So what is the gift given for? That the saints would be equipped for the ministry. Does it say for the pastor to do the ministry? No. The saints are to be equipped by the leadership to do the work of the ministry. Look at the second part, 12b, for building up the body of Christ. Your gift isn't for you to go to your neighborhood and do your own thing. Your gift was given to you for the place where you were assigned to help build it, to grow the church, to build the church. That's the purpose. Look at how it is written in the paraphrase called The Message. 12a. To train Christians or Christ followers in skilled servant work. B. Working within Christ's body, the church. Now, it's true, your gifting will be used wherever you go. But its purpose and the reason it was given, I'm not talking about the residual blessings and rewards of the gift. But the gifts weren't given to you so that you can be some super spiritual Christian that goes around exercising your gifting. Your gift was for the building up of your community. Because Jesus is about kingdom building. It's about compelling the people to come in. It's about loving on people. I want you to see the Amplified version. 12a from the Amplified. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. And then it clarifies in parentheses, his consecrated people. That means the people that were called out into his body. B, and it's in brackets, that they should do, unbracket, the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, parentheses, the church. It's clear, right? It's clear why he gave me this gift. He didn't give me this gift so that I can go to the park in my neighborhood and start something separate. He called me here. This is where my gift is released. This is where it is practiced. This is where it is built upon. This is where it is sharpened. And this is where it's used. Anything else is residual. If I was to do something in my community, it would be for one purpose and one purpose only, to build this church. It would be to get people so on fire for the things of God that I can say, hey, if you took a 25-minute ride on Sundays, I'm going to introduce you to a great family. It would be to bring them here. That's how I would use my gifting. Look at the Living Bible. I mean, the Living Bible translation, it even asks the question before bringing the part A and B in. It says, why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? See, this paraphrase starts with a question so that you can keep the part A and part B of the 12th verse in context. A, it is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, him being Christ. And then the second part, B, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. So what do you conclude when you read this text from the various translations? And you, by the way, you can go to old translations, the Phillips, you can go to King James, you can go to New American Standard Version, or you can go to any other paraphrase. And all of them are going to point to what we just read with its interpretation without deviating. What do we conclude? I'll tell you what I conclude. It is the members of the church that are trained by the leadership, the pastors and the elders and the leaders, to do the work of the church in ministry. The members of the church are to do the work of the church in ministry and in leadership for a purpose. I crave this with all my heart. I promise you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not a pastor that's craving to hold power, and God forbid, I want people to raise up and do their ministries based on the mission and the vision of this church with their own creativity, whether I like it or not. Long as it's within the vision and godly, it don't matter, because my taste is different and my skill is different. And when it comes to what they're doing, I don't have skills in that area. So I have to keep my mouth quiet and believe that the gifts of God in that leader is being exercised, is being empowered by God, and is for the purpose of building the church as they continue to equip the saints. That's what we're going to be doing. It's going to be really important when people go through Jumpstart, to introduce them to other ministry leaders so that they can go and do an internship and learn. And practice. Let's say somebody wanted to go in the sound room and they're new. They've only been here three weeks. And they discover their gifts through the Jumpstart. And they say, I'd really like to give a shot to the sound room. Well, they're going to be in the sound room doing an internship. And the intern, the leader of that ministry, or the folks in there are going to be teaching them how to put away cables and how to set up microphones and how the operation of the projector works and how the sound booth, you know, how the mixer works. Doesn't mean they're going to jump in right away. They're going to be trained. And then they're going to be choosing nights to say, hey, we're going to meet on this night and we're going to let you go ahead. And we set up a scene and we're going to be putting music and you're going to act like the worship team is up there and you're going to go ahead and do the sound and the projector, preparing them for rotation. It's a great thing when somebody comes to the Lord, and even though they're new, they're trusted with their gifting. They identify their gifting, and then they're trained in it, and then they're released in it. Amen? The old school 20th century church would say, no, you got to walk in the Lord about 2 years. Jesus didn't do that. He called the fishermen to send them out. Immediately, he trained them, then he watched them, and then he debriefed them, and then he told them what they did wrong and why you couldn't do this, and this is why the demon didn't come out. And he trained them, then he sent them out again, and it was just a process. And that's what we need to do. We need to imitate Jesus' model of leadership. Amen. So we have to identify the purpose. If you identify the purpose, then you'll be able to say, without a shadow of a doubt, I understand why God gifted me in this area. And I understand how important my gifting is. Let me tell you all this. If you're born again, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been given gifts, whether you know it or not, or whether you practice it or not, whether you've identified it or not, it doesn't matter. They're there. You serve a purpose in your church. What's the purpose? To build up. I believe it's there, no? No. To build up and grow the local mission of Christ, which is the local church. Now, how does Jesus Christ accomplish this task? This is very important. He is going to accomplish it in the same way that we've been talking about. Look, if the purpose is to grow the local mission of Christ, the local church, not the church to the left or the church to the right, this church. If that's the mission that he has, then he has to give us spiritual gifts to do it. We must have spiritual gifts so that the lay people of God will be equipped to do the work of the ministry. You shouldn't be afraid neither. James, I believe it's 1:17. I could be wrong, but you can look at it later. But I believe James 1:17 says that all good gifts come from above. Now, I don't know if I quoted the right verse. I believe I did, but I could be wrong. I'm excited. So there are gifts that you got at birth. My wife was given the gift to sing. She didn't get that when she got born again. She might have discovered it when she was born again. But if my wife would think about her childhood, as a matter of fact, she knows it. She would sing at night. Her sisters, she would drive them crazy. All she wanted to do was sing. My son, if you met my son Chucky, he got a voice. I'm not just saying that because he's my son. That boy can blow.
Yes.
He used to hide in the bathroom with a brush in the mirror and sing as a little boy. I used to say, what's he doing? He's trying to be like mommy. No, he had a natural gift that he recognized. So that's not the gifting I'm talking about. We all have a gift. Some of you work with your hands. You know, some of you are great with people. Those are not the gifts that I'm talking about. Those are natural gifts. I'm telling you that when you accepted Christ into your life, he released to you the gifts that were meant for you at this time in this body. And you have to identify those gifts because that's where God wants to use you. You don't need to be sitting in some pew saying, man, I wish I could do this. You need to identify. We have a method. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website, we just redid a new web. Go to Jumpstart and hit spiritual gifts. It's going to take you to a site. You put your email in it and it's going to tell you. It's going to give you. It's going to identify for you. If you're honest with the answers, if you're not trying to be all holy, if you're honest. If it says, how often do you read the Bible, and you only read the Bible once a month, don't say often, because that's not true. You have to be honest. It will identify for you your spiritual strengths that Christ gave to you. It's really an awesome tool, and we're going to be using it a lot in Jumpstart. So Jesus gives out these gifts so that the lay people will do the work of the ministry, but they do it under the leadership of pastoral staff or leaders. And pastoral staff is coming. I'm telling you, we will not go past April without two more pastors in this church. I'm telling you that. This year is not going to go by like last year. We're already doing trainings. It's shifted a little bit, so I delayed to catch up the material for them. But I'm telling you, in April, we're going to have an event here. You know, and it's going to be, you know, probably either before Easter or a couple of weeks after Easter, or we're going to be ordaining some ministers here, and we're going to have some other pastors here to lay hands on them and to sit on their panel, that they will hold them accountable as pastors. So it's coming. I'm not running this show. I'm not the captain of this boat. Jesus is. And I'm telling you that he called you to come alongside me and take up your ministry. And let's get this thing moving, baby. Amen? I'm excited. I can't wait. You think I'm the one that wants to come up here and preach? Andrew preaches. He's been very well discipled. I want to build other preachers. You think that I get all excited because I'm up here preaching? I want people up here sharing the gospel, man. God wants that too. He wants to prepare people. He wants to release people. This is going to be a very powerful movement in Tampa Bay, because we are not going to covet. We're not going to try and grab everything for ourselves. We're going to encourage the ministers of this church to be released in their giftings and in their skill set. For what? For building up the body of Christ. I want to build this church. Amen. Now, once the church is strong and the church has grown, then and only then can the mission of the church be accomplished. Now, please, if you don't get anything else, now I want you to get it all. But please get this. We set up our vision statement, but we don't set up our mission statement. We design our purpose within our vision. But any church that says that they've written out their mission statement, that God gave them a mission statement, I would have to challenge that. You see, the mission has already been given. The mission has already been given.
Amen.
We call it the co-mission.
Great commission.
When we bring people into the church, we are accomplishing the first part of the mission. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he promises to be with us even on to the ends of the ages. Can I challenge you? I'm tempted to move over there and I can't no more. Can I challenge you this morning regarding this mission? See, we don't write our own mission. Jesus gave us the mission. He gave the mission to the universal church and all of its manifestations in local settings on every continent on the face of the earth. It is the same mission. Make disciples. Baptize them and teach them. So this is a threefold mission. Threefold mission. The first part of the threefold mission is to make disciples. I know that one's up there. To make disciples. What does that mean? That means grow people into the role of servants and ministers. That means this disciple should have within his being the purpose found in our vision. This disciple should be keen and strong on connecting with God through worship, connecting with one another through fellowship, and connecting with community through being equipped in ministry for the church and outreach in the world. That is the making of the disciple. That's the first part of the threefold mission. Now, the second part, you're going to want to stone me, but you're going to have to read the scriptures for yourself and decipher this for yourself. Baptize. You know what this means? Yes, baptism is a representation outwardly of a reality that took place inwardly. You died with Christ, right? You were buried with Christ, and so the emphasis is going under the water. And you were raised up with Christ. That's what the Bible says. So we know what it signifies. But when you baptize a person because you evangelized and brought them into the church through any method, you are baptizing them into this body. They are becoming part of this body. This is where they're going to be taught and discipled, right here. You don't save somebody and say, hey, I hope you find a church. When you save somebody, you know, not you, but when God uses you to save somebody, and they say, Pastor, I want to be baptized. That's what you want, because you want them as to be a part of this body, to be accountable to this body, to be accountable to Christ through the leadership of this body, where this is where they're going to be taught. This is where they're going to sharpen their skills. This is where they're going to be released. This is where they're going to tithe. This is where they're going to do everything, right here. That's part of the baptism package. A lot of folks, you know, depending on the denomination, they don't go with that. But that's what the scriptures point to. And we'll do a teaching on baptism. Donald, we have plenty of time. There'll be, you know, brief messages. And the last part of the threefold mission that we find in the Great Commission is teach. Teach God's people to do what? To obey. You see, what he's saying is make sure that they learn correct doctrine. There are many winds of doctrine out there. Make sure that they learn correct doctrine. Jesus is not an angel. That is bad doctrine. You do not get wings when you die. You don't become an angel. Bad doctrine. You remain a saint.
Amen.
There's a lot of different things out there. A lot of teachings on hell and the blood and heaven and angels and ministry and apostles and teachers. And there's a lot of different doctrines out there. Our role as a church is to teach correct doctrine for one reason and one reason only, that as we teach them, our people learn to obey. Obey who? The will of God through the word of God by the power of God. That's it. So when you obey your pastor, it better be that your pastor is scriptural. Because if I ever led you astray and gone outside of the scriptures, you ought to disobey. Because that's sin. I will not take you into sin. If I told you, hey man, it's okay to have two or three wives, guys, the Lord gave me a revelation, you can stone me. Amen. Now, CTW, if we're going to be an effective and efficient witness for Jesus Christ, we need to have three components. And these components have to be vibrantly and relevantly alive in this church. And that takes us to where we're going next week and the week after. And this is called the RAD plan. RAD is an acronym, but it's not an acronym for a word. It's an acronym for three concepts. The R is relational culture. All churches need to have a relationship DNA. I thank God that this church already has it. There's some tweaking that needs to be done, but as far as a loving church, I'm so blessed that God placed me in a place where the spirit of love was already here. So this is an easy one for us. As a matter of fact, churches that are in the growth process, they spend a year or two trying to change the culture. We don't have to do that. I thank God we're ahead of the game. And the A is an attractional strategy. This is going to be key. Very, very important. Because we don't wing anything here, and we don't want to be winging anything. We must develop and possess a great strategy that works for this church. And believe me when I tell you, it's here. After 11 years of ministering in this church, I really believe that God led me to the right people, to the right coaching network. I wish I would have spent, instead of spending the time in seminary, I wish I would have spent it doing this. Because seminary didn't teach me any of this. And lastly, D, in the rad, a discipleship mission. All churches are commissioned to make disciples. Now, these three elements are found in our text, and this is where we're going to be ending. We're almost there. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we're going to break this apart in the next 3 weeks. But let me get it started right now. I want you to go home and eat this scripture verse from verse 41 to 47. I know you've done it in the past. Do it again. And I want you to break it up into verses. Exegete it at home. Just eat it. Go to commentaries. Look at what they're talking about. Verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. So those who received his word, Peter's word, were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? To their church. When Peter preached, the Bible says about 3,000 souls were saved and baptized. Now, Peter had a responsibility, and so did the other apostles that were in the Jerusalem church. They had a responsibility. The leaders had a responsibility. Now, when it says that they received his word and were baptized, what they're saying is that they accepted Jesus Christ through the gospel, and you can read the gospel being preached by Peter. We know that Romans 10:17 says that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if they were baptized, that means they got saved and were baptized. 3,000 at least. They became members of that body of believers. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, I challenge you here to don't skip over the word devoted themselves. If you are a studious person that likes to check things, you can find this in the New Testament Strong, which is the Greek. And it'll be under NT 43:42. Proskatero. And it means to be earnest towards a thing, to preserve and be constantly diligent or in a place. So we got the thing, the place. And to attend assiduously all the exercises, or to a person, adhere closely to a servitor. So they devoted themselves, and their devotion had to do with things, places, and people. That's where their loyalty was geared to, and their devotion. Very important. What did they do in their devotion? They focused on four basic areas that the scriptures are giving us. It could be more, but the Holy Spirit amplified four of these. Number one, correct doctrine. That was important. Number two, fellowship. Number three, eating together. And number four, praying together. Now this is very important. Look at the next verse, verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So with this, everybody that witnessed this community, this Christian community, as they moved around and practiced their Christianity, put it into play. As they did this, those that witnessed the community were in awe of their love, their health, meaning their healthy relationships and their togetherness. Also, it says in that very verse, verse 43, that they were also in awe of the work being done by the apostles. So we know that the power of God was moving. We crave that. Lord, let your power move. That no man or woman in this church can take credit for what the Spirit does. We just say, Lord, use us. Use us, Lord. Verse 44, short, but is important. Because I've already described to you a relational culture. But look at 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. This is a community of togetherness. They shared everything that they had, which is a relational culture. I love this church because when we see somebody with needs, all I have to do is come up here, which I don't like to do a lot, and say, hey, this person is going to be evicted, or this person, and we do a collection and people give, even people that are stretching their finances. We have a relational culture. I'm so blessed. Verse 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings. And look what they did when they got the money. And distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This was a deep community. No member of their community went without. You can't do what? You can't feed your kids? Oh, no, 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 no. We are bringing this to the elders, and we will make a collection for you. And if there's no extra resources, we will have a garage sale. We did that. We did that. We've done that for a guy that needed a roof. We got that guy's roof done and all of his carpentry done, and then he disappeared from the church. That didn't take away from our testimony, though. Amen. So some people got upset. You know, we did all that and he left. So what? That was a witness. That was a witness. Did anybody get hurt? No. Let the conviction be his. God's people was there. Amen? Amen? Verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. You see, this community worshiped together in the temple, and they fellowshiped together in small groups. That means they were eating together and they were building bonds while they learned from their leaders. They never strayed from the apostles' teachings. Sound doctrine. 47 breaks up into two parts. 47a, praising God and having favor with all the people. So they praised God openly. They weren't afraid to praise the Lord. We shouldn't be afraid to praise the Lord. Amen? They were not ashamed to glorify the Lord. And this caused them to find favor with everyone. This is an attractional strategy. This is an attractional strategy that makes people say, wow, I want that. We are going to develop this to our own strategic movements, using all kind of electronic platforms to do it, to get them here to witness it for real. Amen. So I'm needing everybody's help. And then the last part, B, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they added members to the church each and every day. That is a discipleship mission. So we see RAD played out in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. Now here's some key points that we're going to be developing in this series, and then we're praying. We're done. It all begins with devotion. Devotion. That means they were earnest towards their place of worship, which is the church community. They were earnest towards the Word of God. They were earnest towards their leadership. And they were earnest towards one another. I pray for this culture. So what held it all together? We know it was the Holy Spirit. But what characteristic did the Holy Spirit manifest? Devotion. Devotion was the glue that held this Christ community together. They devoted themselves. Please pray this week that God would unveil your understanding and that He would give you the ability to devote yourself to His cause right here at CTW. That's going to include His local church, His leadership, His word, and His people. Next week, We're going to break this up more. We're going to get more into RAD. And we're going to be focusing only on relational culture. Let's pray for our journey in 2019. Amen?
Amen.